Blog Talk Radio.
We thank thee each morning for a newborn day, where we may work the fields of new-mown hay. We thank thee for the sunshine and the air that we breathe, O Lord. We thank thee. Thank thee for the rivers that run all day. Thank thee for the little birds that sing along the way. Thank thee for the trees and the deep blue sea, O Lord. We thank thee. Oh yes, we thank thee, Lord, for every flower that blooms, birds that sing, fish that swim, and the light of the moon. We thank thee every day as we kneel and pray, that we were born with eyes to see these things. Thank thee for the fields where the clover is grown. Thank thee for the pastures where cattle may roam. Thank thee for thy love. Swim and the light of the moon. We thank thee every day as we kneel and pray, that we were born with eyes to see these things. Yes, we thank thee for the fields where the clover is grown. Thank thee for the pastures where cattle may roam. Thank thee for thy love.
Saints, and welcome to another edition of Manna from Heaven. Yes, we thank the Lord this morning for another day of life, for another day of health, for another day of being in our right mind, for another day of knowing Him. Last night we had a wonderful prayer meeting. I tell you, after yesterday's prayer meeting, I said I can go to bed without a worry, without a care, without any apprehension. God is in complete control. I felt like last night we took our burdens and we gave them to the Lord. And once you cast your cares upon the Lord, He takes care of your cares and handles them. And so let us continue to pray as a church. As a body of believers, let us invite people from other churches to our Tuesday night prayer meeting. Let us rally around Sister Hart as we join together, united in love, in faith, in faithfulness, showing up every week to pray, to believe God for a move of the Spirit. Amen. We're talking about God plus one in 2022, God plus one in 2022. Of course, God will only partner with a covenant person. Our text, Joshua 23:10 says, one man shall chase a thousand. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you, as He hath promised you. Notice, it's a personal promise to each and every one of us that when we serve the Lord and we act and speak and behave as his covenant people, we shall have the victory. We diagrammed the text on Monday. We considered God plus one in the animal kingdom yesterday, Tuesday. Today we're going to talk about God plus one in the Old Testament. God plus one in the Old Testament. Well, I have four examples for you today, four examples from the Old Testament. And, of course, the first one is a child, the second a teenager, the third a housewife, the fourth a regular Joe. So a child, a teenager, a housewife, and a regular Joe. So let's go to the child. Let's talk about the child. The child is Samuel. And you're saying, but Brother Torres, isn't Samuel a prophet? No. Before Samuel was a prophet, Samuel was a child. And as a child, the Lord chose to use him. God plus one. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now remember, my dear brothers and sisters, we are to make no excuses before the Lord. We are not to do like Moses, who, when God calls, we say, well, Lord, I can't do it because of this, or Lord, I can't do it because of that. Remember, it is the Lord God who fighteth for you. It is the Lord God who empowers you. It is the Lord God who has determined to use you and will see you through whatever he's called you to do. So, yes, we're all regular Joes. We're all regular Josephines. Listen, the Bible says God chooses the weak things. That's what 1 Corinthians says. Paul says, look, saints, look at your background. Not many of you are noble. Not many of you are blue blood. Not many of you are intellectual. Not many of you are scholars and this or that. God has chosen. God has chosen. He's determined. He's made up his mind. It's part of his decreed will that he would choose things that the world deems insignificant, like a child, like a teenager. What can a teenager contribute? What can a child contribute? Well, in the hand of God, a child and a teenager can do some awesome things. A housewife can do some awesome things if she is yielded to the Lord. A regular Joe, a guy who works as a butler for someone else, a domestic, if you will, someone who maintains someone else's properties and livestock, a hired hand, if you will, a hired hand, not an entrepreneur, not a big shot, not a CEO of a company, but a hired hand in the hands of God can do awesome things. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, and the child Samuel, the child, there it is, a child. There's your text. There's your evidence. There's your proof. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, under the supervision of Eli, this little child, this little boy Samuel, who had been gotten by means of prayer. His mother prayed for him and made a vow and said, Lord, if you will remove my reproach of barrenness, if you will give me a man child, I will turn around and give him back to you. And he will serve you all the days of his life. And so God answered Hannah's prayer. Hannah conceived. She gave birth. She weaned the child, brought him to Eli. And now under the supervising eye of Eli, Samuel the child, Samuel the boy, is ministering before the Lord. It goes on to say in verse 1, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that when at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, And ere the lamp of the Lord went out in the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of the Covenant was, that Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you did call me." And he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And Samuel went down and lied down. He went and lied down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I. Thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. And the Lord called unto Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. There it is again, the child. The emphasis of the text. The text wants us to not forget this is a child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lied down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as he had done other times, and "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Think of this, a child. Now in the service of God. That's what a servant is. "Speak, Lord. Speak, for your servant heareth." A child. God plus one. Oh, how we give children no credit, or how we look at children and say, "What can come of them?" But you see, my dear brothers and sisters, the question is, what can become of a child or a teenager or a housewife or a regular Joe in the service of God? See, that's the question. Yes, a child is a child on his own. A teenager is a teenager on his own. A housewife is a housewife on her own. A farmhand is a farmhand on his own, but in the hands of the Lord. You see, it's God plus one, and it makes no difference what the one is. Child, teenager, housewife, what can God do with a housewife is the question today. Oh, housewives are just relegated to dishes and ironing and cooking and sewing and a little bit of gardening and, dealing with the chickens, a few chickens, 12 chickens, 12 hens, get the eggs, milk the one goat that you have, run the children to school, go pick them up at 3 o'clock. What can a housewife do? Well, in the hands of Almighty God, a whole lot. A whole lot. You got to view yourself, whatever you may be, you've got to view yourself as supernatural. Remember, the text says that covenant people who rely on the arm of the Lord for strength, they shall do the supernatural. They will do what is naturally impossible, which is what? Put 1,000 to flight. That's the example given in the text, but here you have a child named Samuel. He is going to prophesy the word of the Lord, the prophetic word of chastisement and judgment is going to proceed out of the mouth of Samuel because the Lord put it there. Verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Samuel and said, Behold." Now, this is God sharing this with a child. Well, children can't handle deep stuff. Well, God allowed Samuel to handle it. Who says they can't handle it? Are we trying to tell God, don't say that to a child? You're putting too much pressure on this child? And the Lord said to the child Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that in the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel laid until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is this thing that the Lord hath shown thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and also more, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. So notice, God used a child in the person of Samuel to bring the final pronouncement of judgment upon the house of Eli, to put the final nail in the coffin to Eli's dynasty. There it is, a child, God putting that kind of pressure on a child. Did it break Samuel? No, it made him. Because it goes on to say in verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. God using a child. Well, God uses a teenager. God uses a teenager in the person of whom? Joseph. Joseph. Joseph the teenager. Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, who was once almost the baby until Benjamin was born. One of the babies in the family, Joseph is son 11 of 12. And it reads here in Genesis 37. Here's the text. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, his father being Isaac, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old. There you have it. How old was Joseph? 17. What's a 17-year-old? A teenager. And he was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Verse 9. And he, referring to Joseph, dreamed yet another dream, and behold, it is his brethren. And he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come down, bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him but his father observed the same. See, this is the second of two dreams. Joseph had two dreams. In the first dream, sheaves that have been tied up and bundled are bowing to him. And now in this other dream, the sun and the moon and the stars are bowing to him. God is going to use Joseph mightily and is already starting to give him prophetic impressions at age 17. And it is at this age that he enters into the ministry by being sold as a slave by his brothers to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites in turn take him and sell him to an Egyptian called Potiphar. And you know the story. But here is Joseph. And already Joseph is starting to prophesy by means of dreams. He's starting to tell his family the prophetic course of that little group of people, children of Israel. They're so small. The children of Israel are so small, they're only 12. There are only 12 children of Israel. It's not the nation of 2 or 3 million that Moses led out of Egypt. No, it's Israel in its embryonic state, and yet God is using the 17-year-old to begin to predict the future, to begin to talk about leadership, to give them insight as to what God will do shortly in a few years as God makes him prime minister and all his brethren will bow before him, and how as prime minister of Egypt, he will save the world, the known world, the Egyptian world, the Middle Eastern world, of a great famine, and how by God's wisdom, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, prepares a strategy of survival by which the children of Israel survived that huge famine, that seven-year famine, and God's people are spared economically from disaster. God using a teenager. Think about that. Now let's move on to God using a housewife. Let's go to Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. And in Judges chapter 4, we want to begin reading. We want to begin reading at verse number 1, Judges 4, 1. The housewife we're talking about today is Jael. It says, starting at verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and Ehud was dead. Ehud was that judge that God had previously used in chapter 3. And the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, and that reigned at Hazor. And the captain of those hosts was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapazoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under a palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Have not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go, draw towards Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Now let's pause here for a moment. The woman Deborah, the prophetess, the inspired preacher of God, the one with divine words from the Lord, she said to Barak, go. go. And I can, listen, it's almost an echo. It's almost a reminder of Joshua 23:10. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he have promised you. Now, Barak receives the prophetic word. He says, but I'm fearful. I'm not sure of myself. I don't think I can pull this off. And listen, in parentheses, that's what he's saying. I'm fearful. I'm not sure of myself. I don't think I can pull this off. Can you hold my hand, Deborah? No, this is a grown man asking the prophetess to hold his hand while he goes fulfills his assignment. And it's insulting to Deborah, and she rebukes him. Verse 9, she says, surely I will go with thee, notwithstanding, the journey that you take shall not be for thine own honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. He will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman, a housewife. A housewife. We know the story. The armies, Barak and Deborah go, and as the word of the Lord, Barak routs Sisera and his host. They are all slaughtered. Sisera dismounts from his horse. He's in a panic. He can't believe that his charioteers have been defeated, and he's out of his mind. He's running crazy, trying to find a place where he can hide. And lo and behold, he comes to a tent of a woman named Jael, who's Heber's wife. Let's go to verse number 21, verse 17. Let's go to Judges 4:17. Howbeit Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. And there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Like a little child, she put him to sleep. Verse number 20, and he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, be a gatekeeper, if you will, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here, thou shalt say no. Then Jael, Eber's wife, took a nail of the tent, a tent peg, and took the hammer in her hand, and went in unto him softly, and smote him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, and so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael come out to meet him, and said unto him, come, I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into the tent, behold, Sisera laid dead, and the nail was in his temples. And God subdued on that day. What day? The day that Jael took the tent peg and hammered it through the man's temples. And Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, before the children of Israel. That day was their deliverance brought forth, and their bondage came to an end because of what? A housewife. God through Deborah said, you will go and I will go with you, but this honor will not be yours. God will give the honor to a lowly housewife who has more courage and more spunk than you do. It's amazing. God plus one can end 20 years of suffering. God plus one woman. because Sisera held them in bondage for 20 years. He was the muscle for King Jabin of the Canaanites. And with the muscle gone, with the enforcer gone, with the charioteers gone, Israel was free from the bondage of the Canaanites. Now let's go to the average Joe. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings 18. The man we want to talk about today is a man by the name of Obadiah. He is not the prophet Obadiah by which the little book of Obadiah is counted among the minor prophets. He is not that Obadiah. This Obadiah is a head butler of the king. He is what we call a domestic, a hired hand, one who works in the house, a butler. All right. So 1 Kings 18, it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went and showed himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. That word governor, another word for that is head butler, chief butler, if you will, but a butler nonetheless, still a servant, still a hired hand, still a domestic. I don't care. Listen, a domestic is a domestic. I don't care what rank you have. You're still a domestic. You're still a hired hand. You're still someone's servant. This is a servant. So it says, and Ahab, the king of Israel, verse 3, called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. There you go. Here's a man who loves the Lord, who's in covenant with God. And despite his wicked master, Ahab, and his wife, and despite their wicked proclivities, Obadiah feared the Lord. To fear the Lord means to serve the Lord. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to be afraid of God. It means to reverence him and serve him. And Obadiah feared the Lord. And it was so when Jezebel the queen cut off the prophets of the Lord, when she was persecuting them, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and he hid them by 50 in a cave. And he fed them with bread and water. Now listen, let me give you a little backdrop to this. Obadiah was taking care of 100 prophets of the Lord. There was a persecution law launched against the preachers in the land, the inspired preachers. And this servant of Ahab and Jezebel, who ran their palace, he greatly reverenced the Lord and demonstrated it by taking 100 of God's prophets and saying, listen, I know 2 caves. I'm going to put 50 of you in one cave and you hide out there, and I'm going to put another 50 in another cave and you hide out there. And you stay there as long as this persecution persists, and it was persisting for 3 years. And every day he brought them, he ensured that from the resources in the palace, he would smuggle out water and bread to keep those 100 prophets alive. Here's a regular Joe doing what he could to further the purposes of God. Simply by what? By watering and feeding the persecuted servants of the Lord, to keep them alive in hopes that one day God would turn things around, God would send a revival, and these prophets would be allowed again to preach in the land. There you have it, saints. A young boy, a teenager, a housewife, and a butler serving the Lord, greatly serving the Lord. God plus one. It wasn't Elijah. Listen, saints, it wasn't the great prophet Elijah who was hiding these 100 prophets, his colleagues. No, 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 no. No. In fact, Elijah himself was being hidden by God. God told him, go hide in the brook Cherith. Go hide it, and I'll send the ravens to feed you. Remember, we talked about God plus one in the animal kingdom. God was using ravens. Not a butler, but raven, little birds, little crows, crows, if you will, to feed his prophet who was in hiding in a forest by the brook Cherith, hiding under all those trees and foliage, hiding, if you will, hiding from the queen's wrath. Oh, Jezebel's wrath. But here is a butler who is taking water. And water was scarce. Why? They were hard-pressed into a three-year famine. 3 years, listen. The wells were running dry, yet those prophets kept getting their water. And those prophets kept getting their bread. How do you make bread? You need water to make bread. Flour was scarce. And yet, what? The prophets of God never missed a meal. He kept supporting them because he faithfully feared the Lord. My brothers and sisters, what can you do? You don't have to be in full-time ministry. J.L., Obadiah, Joseph, and Samuel were not in full-time ministry. They weren't. Yet God enlisted them. And you see that when it's God plus one, we're able to do things in the natural, which with the help of God become supernatural. God adds to our natural his super. And the things we do, the exploits we do for God, are supernatural in nature. Well, I'll be back tomorrow to talk about God plus one in the New Testament. I hope and pray that this series is a source of blessing to you, a source of faith. Listen, those of you who go to Grace Church, you may say, I'm not this, I'm not that, I didn't do this, I didn't go to school, I didn't go to seminary, I didn't go to Bible college. Stop using that as an excuse. For in 2022 and in 2023 and in 2024, until the Lord comes, it's always going to be God plus one of us. And as long as you yield yourself to the Lord, he will use you in a mighty way. In fact, people with degrees and people who go to seminary and people who go to Bible college most times are a stumbling block to what God wants to do. So, are you ready to serve the Lord? He can use you starting today. When you go to him in prayer today, say, Lord, I've heard what Pastor has to say. Lord, I'm one. I'm ready. I'm available. Use me, Lord. And you'll see how he'll use you for his honor and for his glory. Love you much. I want to play this song called Higher Ground. I'm pressing on upward to higher ground. God bless you.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new life I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith or death.